Verse 13 is really interesting because it says, then God went up from him. Literally, in the Hebrew, from upon him. It is the picture that the Shekinah glory in this revelation to Jacob had come down and enveloped him. And that's really interesting because the sages of Israel talk about how the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they call them the divine chariot, that the presence of God rests upon them. And you have to understand that if you go to the heavenlies and you go and you look at the throne of God, you are looking at what is called the Merkavah, which is the throne chariot of God. When you go to Israel, you'll see a bunch of tanks rolling down the highway. And those are also called Merkavahs because those are also chariots of a different kind. So why did they say that the sages of Israel or the patriarchs of Israel are this divine chariot? Listen to this explanation from this commentary. This blew me away. This is a Jewish commentary not written by people who believe in Jesus. This man, referring to Jacob, himself, see if this sounds New Testament to you at all. This man himself becomes, as it were, a temple, a sanctuary, and an altar. Is this guy named Paul? Who's writing this? The divine majesty dwells, what's the definition of dwell? Sit. Sits upon him as it dwelt in the temple. It is in this sense that the sages said the patriarchs form the divine chariot. Does that sound remotely familiar? But you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Guys, you want to have an encounter with God? He's going to have to sit on the throne. He's going to have to be allowed to take up his majestic place in your heart. And just like a temple, there's going to have to be some purifying. There's going to have to be an altar. Does the Bible say anything in the New Testament about you as a Christian in relationship to an altar? What was that Paul said? But you are now living sacrifices. Well, to commemorate the moment, Jacob sets up a pillar. Now, what have we been talking about? What have we been pointing out about Jacob? What is he known for? The dude is a moose, okay? He is like Superman. So this stone, this monolith that you're talking about, you're not talking about a little rock. He's not going over and going, oh, here's a nice pretty one, you know, and setting it up. And then someone trips over it. I think when you think about this stone, you're talking about something massive. And you're thinking, well, how in the world could he do that? Well, he's Jacob. And we keep seeing how strong this guy is. And then he anoints that stone with wine and with oil. Guys, listen to Psalm 118, verses 19 through 24. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I shall enter through them, and I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Does that phrase sound familiar? It's very similar to what Jacob said about Bethel and Jacob's ladder. This is the gate of heaven. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to the Lord, for you have answered me and you have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, the Rosh Pinah. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I believe that the altar that Jacob sets up is a representation of the nation of Israel, and this pillar that he sets up is none other than a representation of the Messiah, who in that place will be divinely anointed as the Messiah. So Jacob names the place. I'm glad these guys from Martoma are here. We had a great weekend. And as we close out tonight, I just want to tell you something we did with them one night. I just have this thing about marking your moment. If I get asked from time to time, when did you know that you were going to go into the ministry? When did you know that you were supposed to do this or supposed to do that? And guys, I think it's really cool that Jacob takes time to name this place and to set up a monument to help him remember that something amazing happened in that place. It was a moment that was going to change his life forever. And I think it's important that if we have those moments with God, that we mark them. And I'll tell you why. Because we forget. You know, I'm not 12 years old anymore. I can't remember all the details of what was going on in my heart and my mind when they were singing that hymn of invitation at church camp at Red Rock Canyon. And I stepped out and went forward because I wanted to accept Jesus and be baptized. I can't remember all that. I marked the moment by being immersed into it. So I can't remember everything that happened, but I have that marker in my flesh and in my spirit that something happened. I can't remember every single detail about the time when I knew the exact moment of when I was being called, but I know that moment when I stepped out and I walked down that aisle in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and said, I'm going to commit my life to full-time Christian service. I think there's something to be said about marking the moments that we have with the Lord. And I'll tell you why. Because you're going to need every one of them on your journey. And you're going to need to know every one of them was real. And you're going to need to know that every one of them was significant. And you need to understand that as high as that moment may have been, you weren't home yet. And that's why you had to keep going and why you had to go back through some valleys. See, it's just life. It's not that you're a failure. It's just the part of life that you have to keep going and you have to keep pressing on. But along the way, you have to have marker moments. God gave me an amazing one, which we don't have time for me to tell you all about it. But he gave me one on the back of a guy's porch in Carlisle, Illinois. He drove a stake. I mean, he put my foot there and he drove a stake through it. If I try to run away with it, I just run in circles. I can't get away from it. And believe me, I've wanted to. There's a lot easier ways to do ministry than what I do. There's a lot more financially stable ministries I could be a part of. And there have been times when I've wanted to say, you know what, God, I'm tired of being the man in the middle. I'm tired of people thinking I'm trying to Judaize them. I'm tired of people making false accusations about what I believe. Father, by the way, that veil over the eyes of your people, yeah, it's still there and it's still pretty thick and I'm struggling with it. There's been a lot of times when I've wanted to say, God, I really would prefer an easier path and an easier ministry, but guys, I know what happened in Carlisle, Illinois. God marked that moment. And I cannot walk away from it. And no matter who I anger and who gets mad at me and who rejects me, you know what? I will never be able to walk away from what God did with me that day. And I believe that there are times, and I can't explain why God chooses to do what he does, where he does, but I do know this, that God will give you a moment to anchor you so you know what? This is who I am, and this is what I'm called to do. And it doesn't matter how uphill the journey is to Bethel, that's where I'm going. And I'm going to keep going. And when I get there, I'm going to sit there as long as it takes to have my moment with God. Because he's in charge, not me. Does any of this make any sense? See, I just have a feeling that God is wanting to move us into a season where you and I begin to experience him in some new ways. I think he wants you to have those moments. I think in the spirit, I think some of you are actually hearing him say, it's time to go. And some of you are hearing him say, no, not yet. It's time to stay. And both are good as long as you're dwelling with him. Jacob made a promise. If you go with me on my journey, and you bring me home in safety, in shalom, in peace, then I'm going to know you're my God. Guys, God is going with you in your coming and your going. He's with you all the way.